You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, so good morning. Good morning, 9 a.m. service. Are you doing good? Yeah, all right, so you're all doing good. As I'm going to be preaching today, we're actually down to our second series of our No Filter. So this is our Campus Sunday. So we learn from the life of Jeremiah with God's call to Jeremiah and how it can relate to God's heart with the campus or the next generation. So last week, if you were here last week, Kuya Jairo talked about a powerful word when it comes to identity. So God already knew us before we were born. He already fashioned us. He knew us. He was the one who formed us in our mother's womb. If we're going to strive to have an image in the world, as the world will see us, we would work hard, we would do this. Even the world may not even notice us. The world may even not know us. But because in the eyes of God, because we are already His, that we are already fully known by Him, and we are all fully loved, He already chose us. He has already set us apart, and He has already anointed us. That we have to understand that. Which actually leads us to our next topic this morning, which is what we're going to be talking about, the purpose. So still, we're going to be looking at the life of Jeremiah. We're going to learn from this simple conversation between God and Jeremiah found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10. Can we just open our Bibles as we read God's word? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, it says here, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Join me in prayer for a while. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity, God, for your word to be preached, God. Lord, we pray, God, that we are going to stand in faith, God, that we are going to have our hearts, God, penetrated your word, God, that we will also be able to apply what we're about to be hearing this morning, God. Lord, may you not leave lives unchanged here right after what we're going to be discussing. Lord, we lift this up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let me start making my point here that the desire for our purpose fulfilled is eternal in value. Let me explain to that shortly. There is actually a longing or desire to have that sense to be fulfilled. I know that you can relate to that. Let's say, for example, if I could just get that job, my aspirations, that I would make ingani kadaghan amount of money, then I'm already good. Then I can die happy. If I will just get a glimpse, or at least I will just finally meet her, then I could die happy. There is that longing, there is that desire. Now, if ever that purpose is fulfilled, then okay nako, wala na koy problema. Tell me, if I would ask you this morning, what on earth are you here for? Do you have an answer to that? Why do you think that you exist? Why do you think that you bother to wake up every morning? Yesterday, I actually posted this question as a survey in an IG story, and I got very interesting answers to these questions. First things first, I actually had this question here, and then I need to add beauty. Wow, okay, sige. So, ikaw na jud. So, you're here in this world to add beauty. And the next one is, what on earth are you here for? Para niya. Ah, diba? But, you know, it's a capital N, so that means Delisha kwan is for God, so diba? Another answer is to care for orphans. You would see here that there are actually aspirations, there are dreams that these people would like to reach, okay? Now, if they would be able to do this, then okay, nako. There is already that sense of fulfillment. Just looking at these answers here to this question makes us also question about what is the essence, Jude, of life? Why is there a need to strive or to succeed? I'm actually talking about this ganina pa jud, but just like that Nescafe commercial, para kanino ka bumabangon? You know, with matching voice pa, para kanino ka bumabangon? If you're really into these kinds of commercials, you would learn real life stories from people, inspirational stories, you know, those kinds of stories na nakakataba ng puso bitaw. don't know if every kabulo na mo story bitaw tong security guard that was able to graduate when an old age as a dad. Did you know that? That actually made me tear up. So it's inspirational. But these kinds of stories gives us a chance to get a second shot in living in life, to have a full life here on earth. But let me tell you this morning that in this environment of our relationships, our aspirations, our dreams, our ambitions, they're only temporary. They are only temporary. In light with what I mentioned a while ago, that our desire for our purpose to be fulfilled is eternal in value. Now, what is my point here, 9 a.m. service? My point here is you can't fill in things that are temporary in value when the demand is eternal. It's just like you are forcing this square block, kana bitang square-shaped block into a round hole. It does not fit. You can't just fill things that are temporary in value when the demand is eternal. So let me move on here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So it's actually essential to build from these verses from last week's topic, because this is what we've talked about. We've established the importance of being found or being identified with God. So because we learn that these verses here is God is the one who formed us, who knew us, and who knew us before we were born, the one who set us apart, the one who appointed us, it just gives us a picture that yes, we are fully known and fully loved by God. My point is, it's just so essential to build from these verses, from this topic from last week, because we have to understand that identity establishes purpose. Knowing who you are determines what you are going to do here on earth. That's very important, because if you believe that you are a fish, then you're not supposed to be here. Dito kas Bolivar. If you believe that you are this person, then you will act as if what this person would be acting. Our identity would establish the purpose, what we are to do here on earth. Identity establishes purpose. They always go together. They're always the two sides of the coin. When we understand our identity is hinged in God, then we will find a sense of purpose fulfilled, since God is eternal. Our sense of purpose is fulfilled since God is eternal. Now, with that being said, if we are products by our environment, then our purpose is dependent on our environment. But since God formed us, He is the one to define what our purpose should be. Look at how Jeremiah's response to God's call here. It says here that, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." For I am only a youth. You know, there are actually similar Bible characters who objected God's call for them because of their inadequacies. Jeremiah sees this task that God has given him is actually way too big, that he has to look at his own limitations, he has to look at his own inadequacies, and then he would object. Now, sige Lord, if you're gonna call me, pero why now? Maybe if I'm older. Maybe that's how Jeremiah would put it that way. Jeremiah disqualifies himself with this excuse because he is too young. Okay, Lord, yes, I understand that this is your call for me, pero siguro pag-graduate sa college. Siguro, let me mature enough so that I would finally say yes to your call. This is the kind of excuse that Jeremiah has before God. Remember Moses? Moses has a lot of excuses when God was trying to call him, that God is going to use him to free the slaves in Egypt, seeing all God's power, that his staff turned into a snake, and then his hand was leprous, and then it became healthy again, witnessing all these powers, understanding who God is, the great I am. And then Moses would say, Lord, okay, here I am. Send my brother. Wala gyapon. Why? Because Moses was also looking at his own inadequacies. He's still looking at his own limitations. I'm actually explaining to you these kinds of Bible characters with this kind of behavior, because if you ever felt that you're too small for God's task, then welcome to the club. It's quite common. God actually has a knack to call people in doing tasks that's beyond their capabilities, that's beyond their limitations. Let me say that again. God has a knack to call people to be doing tasks that's beyond their limitations and capabilities. And we complain. We always complain, Lord, I don't think I can regularly do a commitment to partner with this missionary because wala ko'y kwarta. These are not lies. This may be true. Lord, I don't think I'm fit being in this company because business is not just my forte. Lord, ako, you're gonna call me to become a teacher? Seriously, I don't know how to teach. Lord, ang mga estudyante, they're just gonna waste their money for their tuition. Lord, di ko ganahan na ako mag-report. Lord, pwede ako na lang mag-gunit sa Manila paper. Bisag, ano na lang. Right? You know, because of our inadequacies, because of our limitations, we look to these things and then these are the ones that causes us to hinder from obeying God's call. But the question is, why does God even bother to call us to do such things? Have you ever thought of that? Lord, you are going to call me. You know, you definitely know that I am a stutterer. Why would you call me to become, for example, a preacher? Why do you even bother to come to me and ask me to do such things that this is way too much, Lord? I don't want to do it. You know, I'm even scared if I would just fail you. That kind of thinking, that kind of mindset, that is, if you constantly look to your own capabilities, knowing that you will never measure up. Just like Jeremiah, he was looking to his own credentials. If his purpose is hinged to his credentials, then it would have no basis. If God is the one who defines his purpose, that he's going to be sent, then Jeremiah's young age does not matter at all. Take a look at God's response to Jeremiah's defense. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. I love how God would say, don't say that. Don't say that you are only a youth. You know why? I really find it interesting when God would say these things, that do not say, I am only a youth, instead of saying that, yes, that's true, you're young, bitaw, no? He wasn't like that. Instead, he was saying that, you know what, Jeremiah, you have to stop. Do not say that I am only a youth. I would just like to make this point because from time to time, we actually confess our weaknesses and our limitations. There are times when we would unconsciously would just pronounce, bitaw, wala ko'y kwarta, bitaw. I don't think God would use me in this area. And then God would be here and he would say, do not say that. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. It's not about your limitations, 9 a.m. It's not about your limitations. It's not about your inadequacies. It's not about your credentials, but it's all about God's commission and provision. It's all about God's commission and provision. You may be inadequate with your skills, but if it's God's purpose for you, then your inadequacies does not matter. But let's say, kahit pa judo yung ulo, Lord, are you sure? Lord, are you sure? You know what? I am actually good as a fool. I am not the best person out there. I have actually wronged so many people. Why would you want to use me? My relationship with you is not even right now. Why would you want to use me? Are you sure that you want to use me, God? You know what? God would say, yes. Look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27, 28. But God shows what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God shows what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God shows the lowly things of this world and the despised things, that the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Why is this so? Of course, it's not because of our strength, but it's only by God's provision, His grace. It's only by God's provision and His heart to commission us that we are able to accomplish great things for His kingdom. Church, let me tell you this. God does not call the qualified, but He qualifies those He calls. I will give you an example here. I don't know if you know this person. All right, this is EJ. If you don't know EJ, EJ is actually one of our team leaders in the ushering team for the 5 p.m. service. Okay, so he is 18 years old, all right? And let me tell you, I don't know how any other words to describe EJ, but he's that, I don't mean to demean, but he's that typical guy na if magkuyog mo kay Shadjuditor mismo ang mo isolate and then mag-saphone na siya. He has his own world. Not to demean anything, but you know what? EJ is actually a brilliant guy. And then he's the one who's leading the ushering team for the 5 p.m. service. I don't know about you, but if you were able to visit or if you're able to attend the 5 p.m. service, it's chaotic. It's chaotic. But I would say that the ushering team are doing their best, and they're actually doing a good job because of the leadership of this man right here. He's 18 years old, and not to mention that the volunteers sa iyang team are actually older and actually more experienced than EJ. But still, nevertheless, they still look up to him. He's 18 years old. So 18 years old is still, you know, if ever you think about it, is still a bit too young. And the service of the kanabitaong ang ushering team kay ilang dapat attendaran is the 5 p.m., the most chaotic service ever. These factors would just accumulate of saying, Lord, are you sure? Lord, are you going to use me? Lord, is this for real? Not in the case of EJ, because I really love this man's faith here, because nevertheless, he responded to be faithful in this leadership position that God called him at this age. Our doubts, our inadequacies may be valid, but if it's God who's calling us, then that's already more than reason enough to do it. Look at what John Piper said here. There may be someone who say, I do not have the experience I should, or I do not have the maturity needed, or I don't yet have the ability needed, but sometimes our perceptions about ourselves are wrong. God sees things that we don't see, and He creates things in us that we didn't know could be. Let's move on. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 8 says here, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. So God told Jeremiah here that to not be afraid of the people. God is referring that there is actually going to be people. If you're going to say yes to my calling, all right, there's actually going to be oppression. Not all people are going to like you. But I'm going to tell you today that do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. You know what this verse here, I would see it as something like this. There's a contrast here. Do not be afraid of them, and for I am with you. So there's a contrast of fear of other people and God's protection and presence. A while ago, we were talking about God's commission and His provision in light of our inadequacies. Right now, of our fear of whatever that may hinder us, in contrast of God's protection and presence. When we understand that there is going to be oppression, yes, indeed, I'm going to say yes to your call, God. I know that it's going to be about your power, your grace, and your might. Okay, not by my own strength, not by my own skill set, then I am also confident that you are going to deliver, that you are also going to protect me. This is actually comforting, because if there's going to be oppression or there's going to be things that's going to hinder us from pursuing God's purpose for our lives, so meaning the oppression and the fear is actually in pale comparison of understanding the presence and God's assurance to protect us. This is also one thing that I would like to share to you. God is not promising this just because that there is a threat that's coming. God is not just saying this because there is a threat or there is going to be an oppression that's coming or Jeremiah is going to be experiencing something uncomfortable. God is not saying, okay, sige, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to deliver you because of this threat that you're about to face. No, it's not like that. No, it's not like that. Because God also desires to be with us. Because of this promise here, God want to delight with His creation, with His children, with His sons and daughters. Take a look at this verse here in Deuteronomy. In the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Looking at the context of this, we know that the Israelites were actually in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 long years of wandering around the wilderness and finally came to this point that they're actually at the, siguro if ever, kunapay gates of the promised land. They're about to enter the promised land. Moses was having this final speech. Now, you know what? All throughout these 40 years, you have seen how the Lord, your God, carried you as a man carries his son. Do you notice that picture? It's not something that's cold or kana bitong cold shouldered bitaw, or it's not something that's professional, but it's more of a very personal og intimate relationship. Do you understand that? It's as if a father would carry his son. For some of us this morning, I also think that you also wanna learn this coming from God's heart. That God wants to be with you. God delights to be in your presence. God is not distant, nor he is cold-shouldered. But like I was telling you guys a while ago, he takes delight with you. He loves you. Moving on, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. You know, this verse right here, specifically verse 10, communicates that Jeremiah's call to accomplish God's purpose, this is specifically for Israel. So to pluck up and to break down, that is specifically refers to preaching of a sin that was being, kanabitang sin that's practiced, destroy and to overthrow concerning judgment, and to build and to plant concerning of a hope and renewal. The question is, if this is the kind of calling that Jeremiah has for God, do you think it's going to be easy for Jeremiah? If I was in the shoes of Jeremiah, then I would say, Lord, baling lisura. Lord, of course it's not easy. It's not a piece of cake. It's not a walk in the park. This is why verse 9 tells us this, that God reached out and touched Jeremiah's mouth and equipped him with his word. I want you guys to understand that as we walk in the purpose that God has called us, we need to be equipped by his word. As we walk in the purpose that God called us, we need to be equipped by his word. But it's not gonna happen if our Bibles are left on the shelf. If God is gonna call us to walk in his purpose and we would be equipped by his word, sure, you have your Bible apps, but kana bitong diving into the word, yun, knowing who God really is. I'm sharing this because in times that when we feel overwhelmed, if we're gonna be walking in the purpose that God has for us, if we're gonna go through discomfort, if there's going to be things that needs to be sacrificed, it's not easy. But so if we get to feel overwhelmed or feel like giving up, I tell you, it's God's word that's gonna sustain us. This is why it's very important that we get to read God's word every day. I don't know about you, but I know some people who would just sit for at least 15 minutes every morning and they would just meditate on God's word because we need it. These are the type of people who are saying that, Lord, yes, I want to fulfill my sense of this desire to be fulfilled of my purpose. I know it's not going to be easy, but Lord, I need you. You know what? Jeremiah was able to do great and mighty things, you know, that he accomplished in God's kingdom advancement because he has God's word with him. Simple as that. He has God's word with him. There is no such thing as people who claim that they are walking in the purpose that God called them and yet they do not read his word. It does not mix. It does not match. There's no such thing. Talking about all these things, Kiko, are you telling me that letting God define our purpose would look something like this? There's going to be discomfort. It's actually a lot of surrendering. People may be against you. Is it really true that living out the purpose that God defines entails that we would fully surrender every area of our lives? And I would say yes, it would. As much as we might also desire to surrender our heart and our pride and our whole being to God, we also experience the fullness of who God is and how it is really like to walk in the purpose that he has called us to do. If you're here today and you still find it a bit difficult to say yes, if you still have that struggle of having your heart surrendered before God and saying yes to walking to the very purpose that He has for you, I want you to be encouraged that as much as we might want to desire, God is all out. God would say yes. You know what? I've been waiting for this day. It's just like the prodigal son, that when the father would see his son at the distance, he did not wait for the son to just walk near him, but he ran towards him in excitement. Why? Because his child has finally come home. I tell you, God desires fellowship with you. Always remember that God desires to be with you. He desires to have fellowship with you as you walk with Him. That He is trying to restore that partnership that He had back in the Garden of Eden. The kind of relationship that He had before sin entered the world. As we would also cooperate and say, yes, the Lord, here I am. Here I am laid bare before you, and I would say yes. I would say yes to walk in the purpose that you have called me to walk on.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.